Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, this Sunday is our Martin Luther King birthday celebration at the Brooklyn Museum, and you're invited for free. Helping to make it special this year is a live reading of excerpts from the play Malcolm, Martin, Medgar, A Reunion, which imagines the three slain civil rights leaders meeting in heaven and discussing the issues of today. I will be co-hosting with Farai Shadeya. That's this Sunday at 3 at the Brooklyn Museum. Tickets are free, but reservations are required. See the events page at WNYC.org.
A database will be checked, and if a mentally ill person has a gun in their home, is a registered gun owner, it will be grounds for removing the gun from that home.
Governor Cuomo there. And yes, gun confiscation in New York's new gun law being passed in the Assembly this morning. And this is a big day in the gun law debate. Vice President Biden is showing his task force proposals to President Obama. And New York this morning is becoming the first state to pass tougher gun and mental health laws. And you heard the connection there since the Newtown school shooting last month. One person advocating for those laws has been Manhattan DA Cy Vance. And he joins us now, along with Assistant District Attorney Chauncey Parker, who designs anti-crime strategies for the DA's office. Welcome back, DA Vance, and ADA Parker, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
Nice to be here.
How important, DA Vance, is this new set of laws being passed in Albany this morning, and do you expect them to actually reduce crime in Manhattan?
I think they are hugely important on a number of levels. First of all, I think on a political level. When we organized the Republican and Democratically elected district attorneys, all 62 of us, last week to send a letter to Governor Cuomo and the legislative leaders outlining a series of proposals, many of which were adopted, no doubt already under consideration by the governor. I think it spoke to the bipartisan possibilities on an issue as significant as gun control. So the district attorneys who come from all political stripes got together and put together a comprehensive proposal to the governor through his political will, and I think the leadership of both the Assembly and the Senate. You've now seen in New York State Republicans and Democrats overcoming partisan differences to enhance serious public safety measures. The lesson is for the country, it can be done. I'm not suggesting it's going to be easy, and I'm not suggesting that it's going to be necessarily quick. But that's one lesson.
But will it actually reduce crime in Manhattan? ADA Parker, since you work on designing anti-crime strategies for the office, let me ask you this. I've been concerned that the debate on guns this past month has been more relevant to suburban fears than to city crime. So much is focused on the horrible but extremely rare mass murders like at schools and theaters, and not so much on the gun violence we see every day in New York City. One person at a time, shot with a handgun, not a Bushmaster, and by someone they know, not a deranged stranger. Do you share that concern, and does this new state law address it?
I think that's absolutely the focus that DA Vance has given us in the DA's office, that the most important thing that we can do is to reduce crime in our neighborhoods, and particularly the toughest area where gun violence is the biggest threat. Everything that we do in the office is geared toward accomplishing that goal, whether it's trying to focus on those areas and those people who are responsible for gun violence, all the way to the DA's initiative of opening gyms in various parts of Harlem on Saturday and Friday night to make sure kids in the community have a safe, secure place to go, all the way to talking to people coming out of prison together with our partners in federal and state, local law enforcement and community providers, and talking to the highest risk offenders and letting them know the consequences if they pick up a gun. Everything that we do, and this is a step toward enhancing those efforts, but everything we do is toward the goal of reducing gun violence.
You're making an important point there's a lot more to stopping gun crime than gun laws per se. But
let me give you some examples, Brian, as to how I think this is going to make us safer, which is really where you're coming from. You know, we've been able with our existing laws, which have been fairly tough for possession, to really make a dent, I think, in Manhattan on violent crime and gun crime. One unit in our office alone has indicted 16 groups of traffickers, taken 500 guns off the streets. That's with our existing laws. Let's talk about some of the laws that are now going to be in place that are going to enhance our abilities to do more. Number one, for gangs that are essentially acting as racketeering groups, commercial, for-profit, using violence, using guns, committing shootings, those are going to be able to be now charged as, under our state, essentially organized crime laws. And the relevant penalty for those individuals responsible for those kinds of offenses are now going to be the same as second-degree murder, which is 15 to life. So it's going to enhance, by using the state racketeering laws, our ability to focus on the people who are using guns for profit and violence, number one. Number two, domestic violence cases. Judges are now, in domestic violence cases, going to be able to have the domestic violence offender surrender his license and surrender his weapons. Domestic violence, you and I have talked about it before. This is one of our biggest problems. It's going to save lives by enabling judges to pull guns out of the hands of people in those fragile relationships.
These are interesting provisions. The things getting most of the headlines right now in the new state law include a registry of assault weapons. And I wonder if you think that will matter in the city without a registry of all handguns. And will this assault, you know, will an assault weapon under this law include some handguns?
Well, I think that we do see we have assault weapons being brought into New York City, and I've seen them in indictments in our cases. There are assault weapons who are here. So to the degree to which we restrict in New York State the sale of assault weapons, it is going to have a trickle-down effect and reduce the number of those weapons coming
into
the city.
Does that include handguns, the Glock, or anything else?
I don't know the answer to that question. Okay. I think they're designed for the for the Bushmaster and the the larger assault weapons issues that you've seen. But the bigger problem, Brian, of course, is so to your question, is it going to make – are these laws going to make New York City safer as well as New York State safer? I think the answer is unquestionably yes. By increasing penalties, by focusing on these crimes, access to guns, mentally ill offenders who have guns, by being more rigorous in oversight of this, it is going to make us safer as a state, both in the city and outside the city.
I think you were making the point, vital point, that somehow you need to break the chain between the original legal purchase in other states,
right,
which have laws that are looser than New York's, and the eventual illegal sale of that same gun here. And I'm curious, does anything in this state law or that the president is considering do that?
Well, I can't speak for what the – I really can't speak for what the president is doing. And I think this state law clearly focuses on state activity. What we – what you're – I think what you're talking about, Brian, is really the call for national leadership. Our – we did a case recently, 100 guns. I think it was a 16-defendant case with about 100 guns that were sold over a period of time. Most of those guns, 85% of them, were determined to have come from South Carolina and southern states. So this law, you know, this law in and of itself doesn't necessarily address that problem. It may give us more tools to go after the racketeers, but the bottom line is until we get more forceful laws in other states that restricts the ability from those states to sell guns into and move guns into Manhattan, we're only dealing with part of the equation. But the governor, the legislators, all of us have reason to be I think, joyful over the passage of this bill.
D.A. Parker, the mental health aspect of the state law will mean, among other things, that mental health professionals put more people they consider dangerous on a list, and then they wouldn't pass a background check for a gun purchase. Does this connect at all with the work that you do in crime prevention strategies?
Well, I think that that's a challenge through all of criminal justice is dealing with people who come through who are mentally ill and making sure that we have effective strategies. The DA's created a mental health court to address that. I think each one of these steps is a common sense step. And so I think to identify people who are mentally ill and making sure that they don't have semi-automatic weapons is a good plan.
What's your work mostly? Is it with gangs?
Most of the work is the first part of I'd say that over the first few years, our focus has been implementing the DA's vision of intelligence-driven prosecution, which is the idea that a DA's office shouldn't just take each case that comes in and treat it as if it's in a vacuum, and really you should look at it in the context of the neighborhood, of the crime, the threats that we have, and that's why he created a crime strategies unit to do that, almost like a zone offense for fighting crime. The focus right now, in particular what I'm working on for the DA, is the idea of prevention, for going into the toughest areas with kids who are most at risk, giving them opportunities like opening gyms, hiring the most fantastic, exceptional sports trainers for Friday and Saturday night. Now we're layering on top of that academic advocacy and other kind of resources, and really trying to reach those kids and make a difference in those communities, particularly in the toughest areas.
We now have about 1,000 kids who've signed up for what are now 4 sites that we're operating. We started in Central Harlem. We then opened up at the Lower East Side, then East Harlem, and now Northern Manhattan. Not 1,000 come every weekend, but boys and girls, 12 to 18 years old, Friday and Saturday nights, 5 to 9 p.m., we're providing a safe place for them to be using forfeited drug money in partnership with the DEA and the NYPD. And the reason a DA's office, the reason this DA believes this is work that is worthy doing is because it is about making us safer. And everything that we do really should be focused on enhancing public safety, keeping kids out of trouble, as well as making sure that those who are committing violent crimes are held accountable for it.
Manhattan DA Cy Vance, ADA and anti-crime strategies designer Chauncey Parker. There are many things, DA Vance, on your list of recommendations that I'm not sure are in the state law or the president's to-do list. You tell me. Periodic reapplication for your gun permit to make sure you can still pass a background check, in or out, do you know?
Well, I believe that I haven't seen the final bill, but I understand that the registration requirements for upstate have been enhanced and made more similar to those in New York City. So without looking at the bill itself, I believe that the registration requirements to be able to keep the pistol are going to be enhanced statewide.
Micro-stamping. Etching a unique code, like a serial number, into every semi-automatic handgun. Is it in or out of the bill?
It's not in the bill. It is something that the district attorney's office and I have supported for a long time, and that did not make it into the bill. It's not something that I have abandoned or intend to abandon, but it's something that didn't make it into the bill.
It's too bad because, from my perspective, that provision would seem important to break that chain between legal and illegal sales, especially at the national level. Is that the point for you?
Well, the point, I think, is the one you made, but also simply a forensic point, that you're trying to simply be able to match a bullet to a weapon more easily for an investigator. But as in all these political compromises, not everything that the DAs wanted made it into the bill.
Now, here's one that we know is in from the clip of the governor we played a little while ago. Gun permit revocation for people found to be mentally incapacitated, actually taking away their permits. And I can just hear the NRA right now saying, okay, we told you so, here they come, they're taking away our weapons.
Well, I think the point is that when there has been a predicate shown that a weapon is in the hands of someone who is unstable, based upon the requisite showing, then that's not, you know, that's a public safety decision that is sensible. And so there will be obviously those who oppose it. On the other hand, I think that when you have someone who has been proven to be mentally unstable, that's not someone who should be having a loaded weapon in their house.
Do you know if people will be able to see if they are on this list of people determined to be mentally incapable of owning a gun, and what psychologist or psychiatrist put them there?
As I sit here today, not having seen the final language, I don't know, but certainly we can figure it out.
Another one from your list, requiring IDs for large quantity purchases of ammunition, and you compare this to buying cold medicine. How come?
Well, I'm not sure, Chauncey, whether or not I don't know whether that made it into the governor's bill or not in terms of purchasing. Last time I heard, I thought there was a restriction on purchasing large amounts of ammunition.
I certainly and Chauncey Park, I'll let you speak in a second. Just want to reflect to the listeners who were thinking, what? Cold medicine, what? I think the analogy that you make, D.A. Vance, is that when you go now to buy certain kinds of cold medicine that contain ingredients that could be sold as, you know, as drugs, if you buy large quantities, they require an ID because they want you, you know, not to be turning around and selling these on the black market. So same with large quantities of ammunition.
It's not even large quantities. If you go and buy a packet of Sudafed, you have to sign up to get a packet of Sudafed.
Right.
And so if you're buying 1,000 rounds of ammunition, it doesn't sound unreasonable to be able to put your John Hancock down and say, I bought 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
Right.
Now, you may use it for target shooting. You may use it for whatever you may use it for, but it doesn't seem to be a particularly onerous requirement.
Did you want to answer?
I don't know, Brian, whether it made into the final bill, but I think it's a good example of all these provisions, which are just common sense provisions to make us safer.
By the way, do you happen to know, D.A. Parker, the murder rate is down in New York City to its lowest level in 40 years, clearly a success. But what about the shootings rate? Do you know the stats?
The shootings are down in Manhattan over the last year. Shootings and shooting incidents and victims are down in Manhattan.
Yeah, to follow up on Chauncey's point, we have really been focused, Brian, on trying to identify who the crime violence drivers are and to focus our DA efforts on making sure that we're building cases against those people proactively or whenever they come into the criminal justice system. That someone who we know is a crime driver, that those cases are not slipping between the cracks and they're taken seriously, even if it's on a minor offense. So I think we're having some success there.
By the way, I saw from the stats that you sent us that there are remarkably few gun murders in New York, in Manhattan. Out of the 400-plus citywide, there were just like 20-something in Manhattan last year. Did I read that right?
I think 22.
Yeah, there 22. Were 22 shooting victims died in 2012 in Manhattan. There were 177 victims of gun shootings. We have – look, let's give credit where credit is due, and I think it's – I think three groups. I think the NYPD has been doing a great job. I think the community, Brian, is totally engaged. You talk about Harlem Mother Saves. When I go up to northern Manhattan, the community is totally invested in these preventative programs. Prosecutors like our office now are being very proactive, and you know, frankly, the mayor and now the legislators are getting in, and they're providing that extra measure of help to us.
We have 15 seconds left. D.A. Vance, talk to Washington. What's the biggest thing they can do there, gun-wise, to reduce gun crime here in New York City?
They can have Washington should look to New York to have bipartisan solutions. Where we are eliminating assault ban sales, where we are limiting the sales of excessive amounts of ammunition. We are closing gun show loopholes so that people we are able to track and identify sales of guns.
Right.
Common sense measures, we urge you to adopt them.
Manhattan DA Cy Vance, ADA Chauncey Parker, thank you both so much.
Thank you.